Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report, a special one. It's a big review of the big bash, and for the Renegades fans, enjoy the next hour. For the Melbourne Stars, there's still some positives, but oh my God, what about that collapse? A man who never collapses. He's always front and centre. Good to see you again, Bradley Hodge.
Yes, thanks FOMO, welcome. What an exciting weekend. It all started from the semi-finals. And then a proper chokeathon on Sunday afternoon from the Melbourne Stars to give victory to the Renegades. It was a huge weekend in cricket. There were some unbelievable performances, and we have some stars in the house. Well, not
We've got Renegades stars. In the house.
We've got the Renegade stars in Sam Harper. So welcome, Sammy, thanks, to the Bowlology Report.
Thanks, man.
Sam, what does it feel like to be a BBL champ?
Yeah, Sunday was an awesome day, Flynn.
Sunday night what or happened? Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, I would say Sunday night was even better than the afternoon. Yeah, I'm still under the limit to drive now. So, yeah, it was incredible for that to happen in the afternoon.
And now, we're going to review the final, which it'll be the basis of this Bowlology Report. But, you know, just going backwards, you've been in the Melbourne Stars squad for a few years there. So you only get into the Renegades squad because of injury as a replacement player. Is it still surreal that you've actually A, were playing, and then B, getting the responsibility in the top order, and now, you know, getting the medal?
Yeah, still thanking Finchie and Harry for their test selection. That was the only reason I got in. And yeah, to get an opportunity at the top to go and slog them, it was good fun.
So was that always the call? You were playing like Tim Ludeman was keeping at the time, but And it must have been, did you like the license as well? Because when you got your brief opportunities for the Stars, it's at 7 and 8, which is a pretty tough position to bat.
Yeah, especially but having when you're a 52 license, kilos, Flynn.
But was that pretty much it from Ronnie McDonald? Just said, mate, you got a license, play your shots.
Yeah, Ronnie's thing was just about having fun and entertaining. And yeah, I just tried to have a bit of fun and power play and then work on my custard arm with Liz Keeping.
So the coach didn't give any advice that maybe a few more 50s in the tournament would have been a little bit better?
No, we thought 3 was more than enough. In fact, almost too many. Yeah,
just quick fire 30s. Flem just said if you get 6 30s, you're home.
Well, someone backed me up. I said that in the semi, and a person on Twitter goes, actually, Flem pretty much got it right. The 6:30's got him there.
I'll tell you the path of Sammy Harper getting the BBL, Flem. Here we are. So, Melbourne versus Geelong at the new Beaumaris Oval, which is fantastic. The MCC have put
I haven't been out there yet.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing facility. Anyway, Sammy's out there batting against Jake Reid, who was setting
got
the
a bit
ball
of heat.
Down good pace, sort of mid-140s, and Tim Ludeman was on the opposite side. And to be fair, Sammy went out there. I think he cracked about 40 off the first 3 or 4 overs. And
a light just went off.
So I was in discussion with Ronnie about it was either going to be Sam Harper or John O'Dean to play that role.
Yeah, just who's go a pretty good hitter himself, Jono, yeah.
And we were sold the moment we saw, Ronnie was sold anyway, the moment he saw Sammy cracked Jake Reid all over the park, and that was one of the things which got him started. It was awesome.
And Sam, I mean, I've always seen, you know, innovative, you know, this is the way the younger generation play, and you practice that. But I think the thing that surprised me, and I think the public a bit, was your absolute power. So should we be surprised by that, or is that something you've worked on?
That comes from the golf course.
You hit a good ball on the golf course.
I hit a short cutty fade, so I thought I needed to do something on the cricket field. So, yeah, a few hours in the gym here and there on some... I mean, if you look at our chest, though, Dodger's still got much bigger chest than I do, but you got to utilise the power you got. So
yeah. But is it something all you big bash batsmen practice though? Is the power hitting as well? And do you feel like by practicing, you know, there's a theory with fast bowling that you've got to practice fast to get quicker. Is it the same batting wise? You've got to practice hitting hard to be able to generate that power.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's just for me, it's about just keeping it pretty still. And I do move around the crease a bit, just trying to balance. Hit from and then just swing on, watch the ball.
Yeah, you'd be pretty good on Dancing with the Stars. He doesn't bat in one spot for two balls.
No, he needs to get in there. At Dancing with the Stars, you'd be awesome. If not Dancing on Ice, it'd be pretty cool. One of the things which I reckon Flem and Sammy about the Australian grounds in particular is that when you're out in the middle, you know you have to crack the ball 80 metres to be safe. Mm. So you actually do have to train yourself to get the ball 80 metres. And it's almost like, if you can carry your shank over, so most other grounds in India or Bangladesh, your shank can go for six quite comfortably. But in Australia, your shank's out. So you have to be spot on with your technique and your ability to hit the ball 80 metres. I mean, you know, Chris Lynn's Linsanity is amazing, but for the regular human, you've got to be comfortable knowing that you can get it over the top of long on. So that practice is important, really important.
Yeah, it's an interesting one there. I remember a few years ago watching Andrew Simons and his shanks were going for six. Mm. And I was thinking from a bowler's perspective going, how tough is this? Yeah. That even when you actually force a batsman to mistime a ball, you know, slower balls, they're still going for six. So that's a scary prospect. But what about it? Marvel State or the Docklands, though, that inside-out hitting from yourself and Finch and those types, well, you don't have to hit the ball as far there to get six.
No, you don't, especially in the power play when there's 2 out. I found using the ramp early in the tournament actually changed the field to what I wanted because it meant they went fine leg, deep square, and I had the hole offside. I just had to hit the ball, and you either nicked it for four or hit it well and you got six. So
theory-wise, does it bother you if the ramp doesn't come off and you don't score for it, but it's more about the what it puts in the bowler's head?
Yeah. So originally I had the ramp for an on-pace ball, and then I then spent time practicing to play it. I knew the slow ball would come at about 110 Ks, which when you think about a spinner ball, and that's fast, still for a spinner. So to clear 45 is actually not that hard, even on a slow ball. So I wasn't fazed whether I was on slow ball or on pace with the ramp. I was either going to get two
just
or hopefully
length.
Four.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he went back, square leg came up, happy days, or the whole offside was up. So it was sort of a win-win-win.
Yeah.
And do you ever get put off? We saw Ben McDermott, top edge one, under his grill into the chin there. You know, to practice it, you're gonna cop a few.
Yeah.
Do you ever get out there with some full headgear, the baseball, the catcher's mitt or anything like that? You know, they have full protection to practice. Does anyone take that on, or you just know that's part and parcel of it?
Got a couple of hockey mates. I might get some of the goalkeeping gear in the preseason.
I believe Happy Gilmore can be approached
in the
for
cage,
that. He's released some
the cage of
protective
Happy Gilmore
gear.
For the practice of the ramp.
Getting into batting there.
Yeah.
But I think the important one, as best you can, if you can get in or outside the line, you're going to be a lot safer, aren't you?
100%. And I think that led to bowlers looking to bowl quite off pace at me at the top of the stumps, which is something to probably look forward to next year to work on. Just have a boundary option to the slow ball so that I can be even more.
Yeah, now, I want to mention something, Sammy, and this is, it was remarkable how well you held your tongue and nerve when you got called for a no ball for putting your gloves in front of the stumps. There was a lot of confusion upstairs as to what had happened, whether the decision was right or wrong. On my understanding that the laws of the game, you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
But how did you go about that? I mean, everyone, I would have thrown the glove at the umpire, but you held your nerve quite well. Talk us through that moment.
Yeah. So originally I thought we must have had three inside the ring. That was my first port of call, and I was like, well, that's a shame, but and I wouldn't expect Finchie or that to happen. And then all of a sudden, Jared Abood, or like the umpires, they can, well, I won't say he was carrying on, but there was a bit of carry on. And then I just...
You can.
I gave him the double...
What were you doing?
The little mitts going, what's going on there? And no warning, just called me straight onto it. And then turns out the ball was at mid-off by the time my guys went in front anyway. And they were this far in front.
No, I think it was proven that it was the wrong decision. And that's the problem. You know, Jared Bird's a good umpire. But you probably don't need to be looking for those things unless they're obvious.
I feel like you were looking for it. I said, if you can tell my gloves are that far in front of the stumps from 22 metres, then you should never make another bad LBW decision in your life.
No. No, oh, it's like, yeah, or give all the runouts. Make a decision. Out. Don't send any upstairs.
You know what I would have done, Sammy? I would have said, listen here, you knob jockey. You yes. concentrate on your stuff.
Mr. Knob jockey.
And then
please.
What I would have done is secretly told all the outfielders around to make sure they throw it at the umpire on the way into you. he's got a helmet on. He went fine.
He's got his gear on. Yeah, he's safe.
No, we know Sam's temperament's first class, Bradley Hodge. As is, let's get into the BBL final now. It was a fantastic day. I enjoyed Sunday afternoon. Doesn't the Docklands Stadium just look totally different when the sun's out, roofs open? It changes the pitch characteristics. The outfield looks amazing and seems to run a lot further. And 40,000 people, I just thought it was fantastic atmosphere for a final.
Yeah, 100%, especially when we got a few quick wickets and the crowd went from dead flat to going off their nuts.
Yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it? That change in volume from the crowd. It was almost like the Sunday and afternoon was drifting into a dull sense of reality.
Having a snooze.
Two quick wickets and, my God, it erupted. But it did have a sense of a cricket feel. The last two games at Docklands Stadium, the Friday night, and then this game in particular, it looked like a cricket stadium. It had that feel with the roof open. You're spot on, Flem. The sun was beating down. The crowd was up and about. It was finally, it was right. They got it right from the start.
The positives for me are with the roof is there was a couple of games that would have been rain affected, but because we had the roof, so we have to give that a big tick there. But for all the criticisms of the pitch, the inconsistencies in the pace and bounce early on, full credit to the curator for the semi and final. They were fantastic pitches.
Well, he was. I spoke to the curator, and he just said it was actually just shit batting from the Renegades.
Yeah. the stats actually back him up.
Yeah, 150. Yeah.
He said they just threw their wickets away, Flem. I couldn't disagree with him at all.
Okay, what about the actual scores, Sam? Melbourne Renegades, 5 for 145. That looked a bit underwhelming, but it did get pumped up by two very experienced players. Tommy Cooper and Dan Christian put on 80. It wasn't acceleration, but I thought their experience and composure worked to perfection. I think they were helped a little bit by the Stars, bowling their spinners out early, because particularly those two players aren't great players against spin. Then they had the last three or four overs against medium pace, and they made the most of it.
Yeah, they did. Credit to the boys, because bravo, that third last over, he was bowling round the wicket slowballs and in-swinging Yorkers. And yeah, for them to put on 80 off 60 balls and just get us up to 145, because 130 probably, it's just, it is
You're not
done.
A chance.
No, not a chance. So yeah, for them to do that and then.
Well, I just think when you get it over 7 and over, you probably should lose. Mm. But yeah, you only need a couple of wickets in the power play. You only need some tight overs. And I think once you get it over 8 to 8.5 with a lot of overs left, Hodgie, well, you are going to feel. It didn't play out that way, but that's such a significant partnership, isn't it?
Oh, it was huge. Dan Christian's been a superstar of the tournament, and it's not surprising he lifts another trophy. Tom Cooper's effort as well was awesome. You could see that, he was still struggling with spin when he first walked into the crease. He has all tournament, but he fought through that. His strike rate was well below what it should have been. And then he got his power back at the end. Those sixes just to get some momentum. We talk about momentum in T20. I reckon that the Renegades walked in, and correct me if I'm wrong, and gone, righto, this is a good score. We could have been out for 110. Mm. Let's get out there and defend it with our lives.
Well, is it true? What did Siri say?
Siri said to Ronnie in typical DC smile with that little grin on his face, "Coach, you've got 15 too many."
But I'm assuming Ronnie asked first. Go, Siri, is that enough?
Is that enough? And 15 too many, coach.
So, but for me, that's a real tick for resilience, determination, just fighting hard. We don't have to look pretty, right?
No.
We just need to get the job done. I don't think the same attributes can be attributed to the Melbourne Stars. Opening up, they were numb for 93, 12.5 overs. They are home and hosed. You talk about the Melbourne Renegades fans. I had some friends go to the game and there was hardly, and they're Renegades fans, there's hardly a whimper or celebration for 32.5 overs. Amazing. They're just there watching a game that we're going to lose.
Yep.
There's a little cheer when Stoinis goes. And that was a beautifully constructed over from Camp Boyce,
yes,
wasn't
it? Absolutely.
He made him feel uncomfortable, slightly forward, slightly back. And then that was a beautiful way to in-dip in Yorker at the end. But even then, you just feel like the stars are home.
Well, it was great execution from Boyce because he tossed one up and it got pumped about 400 metres straight, which nearly hit you in the commentary box, Flem, I reckon. And he adjusted so well after that. You could see that Stoinis wanted that again.
Yeah.
And he just didn't feed him at all. And then he was quick impetuous in that shot. And it took the top of leg stump and it was a huge wicket and the momentum swing.
So, Sam, what are you thinking there? You get your first wicket. What's the sort of feel? Oh, that's a bonus. We need that. But you're still not looking that far ahead.
Yeah, well, we speak of the Marvel pitch, Flem. At 9 for 90, I was looking to hide under it, to be fair, and dig a hole in there. But, the first week was just a bit of a... That saved us doing a nude lap in half an hour of time. Good old table tennis. And then all of a sudden, Petey put one up in the air. Dunk took on the 90-metre boundary. And then, when Greggy's got great hands. When that elbow hit the ground and it fell out, I was like, maybe that was a little half chance that was going to... We'll look back on and go, maybe if we took that.
It was a great effort
by Whitey. Yeah, he's a sensational catch. And then the first ball the next over, Tremaine to Maxie, just up to McAharvey. And then I really thought we were a good chance.
So the Maxwell one was the significant one.
Significant. And you should have seen the celebration that Cameron White was fielding at cover for that wicket. He sprinted from cover to deep square leg to hug the catcher and the wicket of that Tremaine got. But it was one of those moments that you just thought, oh, that's going to cost the Renegades when Maxwell got put down. He's in such good touch. And again, Cameron Boyce was on a roll, tossed it up outside off stump. Drew, I thought Maxie actually may have gone over the top of Cam, but it went straight to him. He just hit his elbows and bobbed out. For me, the Ben Dunk dismissal was just a hideous, hideous crime. Just watching...
Why?
Well, you've just seen back-to-back wickets. You just need to stem the flow. The game's under control. You're taking it down. It was the last ball of Cameron Boyce's spell. The only person that could have done the damage at that time was Cameron Boyce. Every other seamer, apart from Gurney when he came back, looked innocuous. The game is under control. For someone that's on decent money, I'm sorry, but you need to step up and take some responsibility as a top order batter.
Well, all the attributes I was attributing to Cooper and Christian, that's what we didn't see. Pete Hanscom didn't decide to, I'll be there at the end.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? 15 off 15, I reckon the Stars would have got home there. Dunk, last ball from Boyce's spell, lost two wickets. Just even a bunted single there changes it. Maxie takes on, was there four out on the leg side?
Yep.
Four out on the leg side. That was the type of ball you could actually just keep along the ground or go hard, go big time. And then it was just a procession there. And it was amazing, wasn't it? From first wicket at the end of the 13th over, by the start of the 17th, the game is over.
You can dissect however you want.
It shows how brutal T20 cricket is.
Yeah, 100%, Flem. And I think we learnt in the game four at Marvel against the Stars, we bowled Harry a bit earlier to try and get a game sort of back in our control or give us a chance, and they could just sit on him. But when the run rate's 10 or 12 and he's bowling his cutters, Yorkers and back of hand with the fields that he's got, he's a very smart bowler.
No, as soon as it raced to 10 and over, you thought you could see, you could sense on, I was down on the boundary, you could sense the excitement in the Renegades start to believe, and you could just see the Stars' body language absolutely deteriorate so quickly. The nails started chewing. I think Seb Gotch should have come out a fraction earlier.
And hit the ball around and rotate the strike.
Just get a running game, stem the flow. Really, does he get out early, Seb Gotch? He's a busy player.
But you only needed one guy to go run a ball, and that gave a license to the other guy. What about Finch's captaincy? Bringing up some fielders to mid on and mid off, and the rotation of the bowlers, so I thought was excellent.
Yeah, excellent. He hadn't had his best day until he got into the field, Finchy. In fact, he played his best shot all summer. The chair copped an absolute fucking hiding. But anyway, his captaincy was excellent. And what it was a backing of his playing group and an understanding of his bowling unit as well. So I think he did two great things. Friday night, he gave confidence to Richo. So Richo came back after getting absolutely pummeled for his first two overs, went for 30, came back and finished off well with only 38 runs. And
they again, all did, though. Yes. But that was underrated, the squeeze late in the semi, because the sixes were looking like 200.
Yep.
So as a keeper, reviewing their season, the experience with the ball, that's one of the factors, or one of the main factors, the Renegades won the title.
100%. I think on Friday night, they were about none for 120 off. So they were on 120 after about 12 overs. So they came to 180. Again, we speak about making 130 versus 145. 180 versus, say, 195, it's done and done.
Yeah, you're probably cooked if they get those extra 20 runs.
So what you're probably doing in the first innings of the semi and the final, you won the closing overs. So you actually go in at the break
with a bit of momentum,
feeling like the momentum's going your way, which is massive in a T20 game.
Yeah, well, it is. Look, he did well. I thought his captaincy was outstanding, especially the fact that it looked like Muhammad Nabi was going to be missed in that sense, just to break it up. The only thing, he probably didn't have the courage to go to Cooper outside the power play, and fair enough too. He's hardly bowled a ball. But if Muhammad Nabi was there, he just could have just changed the momentum.
Well, he would have bowled in the power play,
there's
he,
no doubt.
As well.
So for him to trust Christian, Richardson, Gurney, Boyce, unbelievable sort of
Sam, what about the great Gurney?
The great Gurney.
Just his stats before we go. In the closing overs, bowled 20 overs in the last five. What's an acceptable economy rate?
Oh, for his skill, anything under 8
I would have thought higher.
Outstanding.
6.7.
Yeah.
He only got hit for 7 boundaries in 20 overs. You'd be thinking one and over.
Yeah, absolutely.
8 wickets at 16. The great Gurney. Dan Christian plays with him at Notts. They've won titles, pumped him up, but he certainly delivered. So him as a bowler and then also as a bloke.
Yeah, he's come a long way from the
for a fourth grader, he's pretty good.
I know,
fifth, yeah.
He's learned
well,
a lot.
Well, they're calling him Mr. Bean, weren't they?
Mr. Bean.
We weren't.
No, we weren't.
Yeah, he's just been awesome. And he came and he was great for the group just with his sense of humour. And, obviously he owns a couple of pubs and enjoys a beer. So, no, he's great around the group. And his skill set at the back end for us was really important. I just felt when it was like 38 off 19 and he was bowling that third last over that – it was not going to go for more than 10 and we were going to be home.
Hodgie, you've talked about overseas. There is a lot of pressure coming in because, the different pitches.
Yep.
You got to get, your teammates, do they rate you or do they know what you're going? Mm. But he seems to have just gone, yep, this is another T20 game.
Yep.
This is where I'm going to bowl my Yorkers. This is when I'm going to bowl my slow balls. I'm not that keen to field. I didn't bring a bat, but I'll do the job with the ball.
I don't think the Renegades would have got anywhere near the title if it wasn't for their three overseas. Muhammad Nabi, Shinwari, and Gurney. They were unbelievably good overseas players, and they carried the locals, who were pretty average for most of the season, to be honest, which just goes against the flow of the Perth Scorchers in the fact that they've only had...
Is that the Renegades?
I think it's the Renegades top order. I'll fetch his later.
Fair enough.
But it, yeah,
not but, Sam. I've got the most runs.
Yeah, but it's against the trend of the Perth Scorchers where they've only had one overseas. But, for the two team franchises in the state, you have to split your squads up. So you have to get good overseas players in there.
Who had the best chat out of the three? Gurney, Shinwari and Muhammad Nabi.
Well, Shinwari was learning three words of our language for him, so he didn't have that.
So he'll get one vote.
Muhammad Nabi didn't know our names. Yep. He'll get two votes.
He learnt Dan Christian. That was one of the highlights, wasn't it?
We'll go Harry Gurney.
What was it like batting with Dan Christian?
Who? And he said he was in hospital. He didn't even know that he'd been in hospital the whole morning. Went out there and peeled off 50 off 20 balls with him.
But it's also their team. I mean, I don't know Shinwari as well. I saw him in the Pakistan Super League. But Nabi's, when you talk about experienced and composure, he never looks ruffled, does he? Doesn't matter the stage of the game. and he's very competent at all three skills.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, his bowling's extremely underrated, just how his sense of the game, and then his batting. That evening's in Adelaide, and a couple of other innings that he played throughout the tournament, but yeah, they were awesome.
Sam, can you talk about the moment? You know it's coming. You've won a couple of overs out there, but just that moment when you win.
Yeah.
What about the pure euphoria and there was great. What about, you know, Whitey was pumped, wasn't he?
Whitey was pumped.
Yeah, Melby's beaten the Melbourne Stars, who he started with. Well, there was a few of you boys.
A few of us were happy to beat the old club. Yeah, I heard rumours that Eddie was pretty happy up on the second level.
No, he turned purple.
He did. His head looked like it was going to explode. He was that angry, I reckon.
I was back on the ring trying to just make sure, if anything, that the five wides didn't happen, just to give them any sniff. But, yeah, the run from there, I felt like Usain Bolt running into Poochie Finch there to give him a hug. And, yeah, it was a good moment.
Pure euphoria. And then what happens for the next few hours? You're in the rooms. Do the T22, do the Big Bashers have songs?
No, the Melbourne Stars have a song.
What about the Renegades?
We just celebrate that we've given the fans a few entertainment of none for 90 into a 7 for 19. That's our song, Flem, and we enjoy it.
Well, I'm going out the Bowlology report. Mm. We need your feedback on Twitter, a song for the Melbourne Renegades. Yeah. I wouldn't mind a cover of a rocky sort of song, but I want it in for next year. So you're in. Who speaks to the group first? Is it Finchy? Is it Andrew McDonald? Is it Sam Harper?
Yeah, there was a couple of hours there where not me. where we were just in the rooms with a lot of the family and friends, and the Stars boys come in, they're good fellas, and then we actually had a good moment where we all went up to the Marvel pitch that we all hated and fall in love with for half an hour there. And just had a moment around the pitch.
That's special.
Where Ronnie had a couple of minute chat, and Finch had a couple of minute chat just about what we'd done. So it was good to reflect on.
Now, and
what did the torch have for you? What did it give you? What words of wisdom?
Oh, the torch just said that 50s are overrated, and so are FIFA. So just keep smacking them, boys. I think he made a comment, Dodge, that whenever someone made over 36 or 38, we can look at the stats this later, we won every game. So we just needed one person to make 38. And we were going to win.
Well, also I had, DC was, Dan Christian was interviewed, after the semi. And it's a very valid point, you know, and as commentators, you know, we need to be on this. And I think we are to a degree. You know, it's less about the traditional milestones and it's more about what wins your games. And DC just spoke about strike rates.
Yeah.
Strike rates are the important things. You know, I think if you're a... bats in the top six and you face 15 balls, well, we want 25 runs.
Yeah.
If you do that...
I think it's key. Dodgy would know this more than anyone, that when you're coming in through that middle late order, which I've experienced a little in the past, if the blokes before you have chewed up balls and the run rate's escalated, or you're batting first trying to set a score, it makes it really hard. So when you do have the freedom of the top of the order and two out and the new ball, you've really got to utilise that.
Yeah, you know what I love? I batted down the order 6 and 7 a few times. Oof. And if it ever got to 12s or 13s and it got out of reach and you come in, you know, you can walk off and you can go, what the fuck are the top order doing, you know? But if you got the job done, you were a superhuman hero. You go, oh, how good is that? Absolutely. We just put one.
So nothing to lose.
Yeah, nothing to lose. It's absolutely. But look, the point of the matter is that people need to understand that there are sections in the T20 game, you know, the power play. And I think the most underrated number 4 or 5 in this competition so far this year was Jono Wells. So when you come in at 4 and 5, you've generally just seen Sammy Harper get out in the 6th over trying to slog the spinner in his first attempt, and you've got to then rebuild. So, and you've got 5 guys out on the field. So to go at 130, 140 straight away is very difficult, extremely difficult. And in fact, I think David Hussey's probably one of the better ones coming in that period to do it. So then you actually have to wait for a period in the game where you lift your strike rate. So, and then coming in as a death specialist, Dan Christian, he'll look and go, I got 10 balls to face. What can I maximise out of those 10 balls?
Yeah.
So it's just situational batting. You know, we've seen that Philippi comes in, smacks it, creates chaos. The game's won in the first 5 or 6 overs.
But I like what Wells has done too. I think he's a bit of a blueprint to people who aren't genuine power hitters. You know, he can hit sixes now too. Is I reckon in those first 6 balls, he's got 6 runs.
Yeah.
Like there's 6 singles. So he's rotating the strike and all that. It's not 2 off 6. And then you've got to play the big shot. I think the way that he manipulates his angles, I think he does that better than anyone in the middle order in the bash.
But what you'll do to structure a team up, you'll generally have someone at four who you'll call the glue, and you'll just put match winners all around that guy. That's generally the way you structure up. For the Renegades, you just couldn't find anyone at four that actually was any part of any glue, actually.
You know what they used to call him? Mr. Glue. Oh. He was the glueologist.
The glueologist.
Just a couple of fun things here. What about if Melbourne Renegades, Hodgie's got a segment that just scares all, not only cricketers, but superstars. You know, the social media self-promoter award. Who would you think would get the most votes in the Melbourne Renegades lineup?
Well, as a young fella, I don't know much about suits, but I learned a lot about suits with Aaron Finch's Alan Border effort. There was Instagram posts and tags and Bale and... So Finchie would have to be up there.
Definitely.
Gurney, who was his tag? MJ Bale.
Gurney running with the Mr. Bean just to get a bit of self-love there. Dan Christian, the self, or what are you going to say, the titleologist. Just won every title. And
What about Kane Richardson?
Kane Richardson's celebrations.
Yes.
Don't know whether he's watching the tapes or practicing those, but I love Richo to bits, but I'm not sure he's got the arms like me, Flem, to pull off the big...
One of the highlights, my top five moments. Well, one of them is his wicket celebrations, and he's able to do a gesture, you know, to Stoinis, the Incredible Hulk sort of one. There was a couple of others.
Like,
does he practice them at training? They have to be premeditated.
Yep.
But imagine you're running a bowl going, gee, I really want to get this guy out because I want to mimic his celebration.
Yeah, I remember Sandu took my leg pole and gave a bit of the James Harden, and Richo was then practicing that at halfway. So, yeah, he puts a bit of time and everything.
So it's something that could happen in a game. He goes, if I get that guy out, I'm gonna actually do that.
Definitely. Mimic his.
He did have the tweet of the summer for me, Bowlology Report.
Yeah,
tweet
it's
of the
a beauty.
Summer, Kay Richardson, and he said, photo of all the bowlers and batsmen sell memberships, and bowlers win premierships. Hats off. You two are going to disagree, but Kay Richardson, you're an absolute superstar. We need to talk about chokes. Talked about the Melbourne Stars, reflecting on, have I ever seen a batting collapse like that? And I've got a positive and a negative choke of my career. I reckon the positive choke was actually in a World Cup game. I think I've got the actual... I know Cricket Australia... We'll talk about this bit later about... Yeah. Cricket Australia got a great initiative. You can vote for what the Australians are going to wear next summer.
What is this across here?
I don't...
That's just a bit of carpet they've found and just...
sewn on.
What is that?
This is the 96 World Cup in Sri Lanka, India and Pakistan. Wow. But feel how heavy that is.
That's a piece of rug, Flint.
You're in Madras.
That's hand stitched by.
And you lose 10 kilos.
They got every colour up there for you.
Is that all the different nations, mate?
Could be.
Wills is a tobacco company.
Well, we can't go there.
Yeah,
I think they're out of business now. But the story is World Cup semi final against the West Indies.
Yeah.
We were 4 for 15, so we were half choking. But then Stuart Law and Michael Bevan, got us up to about 207. And they got off to a flyer. The Windies were actually 2 for 165, chasing 207.
Wow.
Yeah.
And thanks to mainly Warnie and McGrath, they lost 8 for 37 in a World Cup
semi-final.
And I got to bowl the last over to Richie Richardson, who's one of the greatest players of all time. They might have needed eight. First ball, you know, took him wide, but it's a half volley. He basically swept me for four. So he's going to win it for them, right? Next ball, I did York him. Yep. Went through to Ian Healy. Curtly Ambrose at the other end. I'd never heard him speak before. He goes, come on. So he gets a single to take Richie Rich strike, right? Ian Healy, who used to, in the warm-ups, you know when you're bowling to Sam Hupp, the keeper, he'd always underarm it and try and hit the stumps, and you have to walk away and get the ball and go, bloody hell, can you just throw it to me at heels?
Come on, yes.
You know why he was doing it? For this moment. Ambrose calls Richardson through. Heels takes it. Guess what? Hits the stumps. And Kirtley's going, no, I'm all right. Gets run out by that far, right? Brings out Courtney Walsh, who was in career best form at this stage. He was averaging one. We're thinking he'll try and get bat on ball and get Richie Rich back on. So he tries to hit me. This is in Mahali. He tries to hit me to Delhi.
Yeah.
And I bowl him. And it was a bit like, you're pure euphoria and that sort of win. So that was a choke. for the positive, and the worst choke for a loss for me was a Boxing Day test against England, 1998-99. We're chasing 175. We've already won the series, by the way.
Yeah.
But 175, we're 3 for 130. Mark Waugh's batting away. And I just remember me and Colin Miller actually starting to ring the pubs.
Yeah.
The depot, the Star Bar. We, you know, we want a meal at the depot. We want drink cards at the Star. Probably ended up at the Tunnel. We didn't quite get to the Tunnel because we lost 7 for 32. 7 for 32.
Ruined the night plans.
I made a duck. I was out first ball. They gave it not out, and I was at later on there. But that's two of the biggest chokes I've been part of. What about you, Hodgie?
Well, the biggest chokers that we do know of, and you were involved in this, was the South Africans, Flint.
Yep.
They were known chokers. In fact, they choked many times. They talked many times about how to dissect the Australians and could never do it in any semi-final clash.
And also, the thing is, I found it was from that semi-final in 1999, but they would always dismiss the word choke, and I think it's only been in the recent couple of years that they've acknowledged it. And I reckon until you acknowledge it, you can't move on there. Yep. But they've had some horrible ones in big tournaments.
Horrible. I think semi-final against Australia.
07 was horrible.
Yeah, they came out and I think they were going to be aggressive to Nathan Bracken and aggressive to Glenn McGrath. Jack Cullis, who'd never even played an aggressive shot for about 50 years, decided to dance down the wicket, missed a straight one off Pidgey, and they were 4 for 19.
I was commentating
in
that.
All sorts
4 for
of 13,
game over.
Unbelievable.
So, what about any little chokes in your
Well,
career?
I will actually flip one for the just on the positive for the South Africans. They did actually, Australia choked, I reckon, the SCG test there when Fani de Villiers took 7 for there, I think. Damian Martin was on 54, and I think he hit one to cover, and then it all collapsed.
He got crucified for that.
Yep.
Didn't play for 6 years, don't
So that was one choke. I was involved in, not necessarily a choke, but it was one of the worst batting collapses, similar to that to the Melbourne Stars, and it was North Melbourne versus Melbourne Cricket Club at Arden Street. Now, this is probably just...
I'll be backing Melbourne then. Well, North Melbourne, not strong.
It was a one-day game, I think. We'd penciled in six points. I mean, even if we just drove there, we were taking six and go home. There was Jones, Ayres, Ramshaw, Herman, Hodge, McCook...
Williams.
Simon Cook.
Snake.
It was just a superstar lineup. Anyway, we were good enough to win the toss and bowl, and we bowled... North Melbourne out for about 130.
Who top scored for them?
No idea. I don't even know who was playing. Maybe Pickers. Pickers maybe back then. Brent Skinner maybe. But we just thought it was a walk up. And so anyway, what we did is we sent Brad Williams and Simon Cook off to get some fish and chips. We're a little bit hungry, so there's going to be a walk in the park.
A beer and fish
you go
and
get
chips
some fish and chips while Ayrsy and Ramo just go and knock them off. Anyway, we were, I think we were about 8 for 18, chasing 132, and
where were the boys?
We were minus two players, because they were at the fish and chip shop, and there was a guy named, I don't know his real name, but we just knew him as the Bronchosaurus. He was Bronco or something like that. Anyway,
he ran through us.
Absolutely ran through. We were out for about 32, and anyway, that was one of our biggest batting collapses, but... we didn't even get the fish and chips. We're pissed off. We wasted about $60 on fish and chips. It was awful.
It's a bad one. And for the Melbourne Stars, you know, that's gonna hang with them they actually win one. I thought there was a lot of positives out of the Stars' year. Some list changes. I thought they got their overseas, you know, right. Bravo's more a Dan Christian. Very good part player now.
Yeah.
Still very good with the ball. Sandeep, excellent.
Yep.
I thought they shifted to a more spin focus, which is not a bad thing at the MCG, and it worked. I think Stoinis finally went from very good to, you know, as good a player as there is.
Yeah.
Maxwell's captaincy generally was really good in his batting, showed some authority. But collectively, you know, it's another failed finals campaign.
No doubt, you can only say it is if you don't win. I mean, the good thing is they bounced back from what was a horror season last year, but you're not going to get too many opportunities to win, especially with that list. I mean, that's a superstar list, and you'd expect them to get over and win that title this year. That's going to hurt them for a long time. Even the management, how you pick a group up after that's going to be tough. So
maybe some changes, I think.
Hard to do.
Hey, one thing I really loved, I mean, experience in the end showed, what a tough commodity it is. You know, you can't bottle it. If you could, it'd be very expensive. But what I've liked about BBL, it's been the emergence of a lot more younger players playing. Yourself, at Mackenzie Harvey, you know, an 18-year-old playing in the Bash, often at the top of the order. He's an exciting talent.
Yeah, Mac is very exciting. Probably nearly the best fielder in Australia, I reckon. The way he moves and catches.
He's got a rocket arm.
Then he can smack him like he played baseball as a kid, so he can smack him when he's batting as well. So, yeah.
The other youngsters? What about Filippo?
Yeah, Josh, he smacks him as well. It was awesome to see him get up the top of the order. Made that 90 not out for about 50 balls and just took the Hurricanes apart.
Yep. Max Bryant as well.
Max Bryant, 80 off 30 balls against the Stars. He's smacking him at the top of the order. So.
Yep, Sanga. You know, got a couple of 50s, failures in between, but it's another teenager. There's a lot of those.
Absolutely.
Well, there wasn't some great performances from the premier batsmen at the start of the tournament. They were really struggling for form. We saw that Perth Scorchers, who we know are pretty reliable, couldn't score a run.
No.
Cameron White, Cooper couldn't get going at all. I thought the Hobart Hurricanes were the first to jump out of the stalls pretty quickly and.
They're a very good team.
Short, Wade, McDermott, Bailey. Yeah, they were excellent, actually.
There's not too many weak. Yeah, I think Malenko's another one of those really handy bit players. He's a
good ball
25
striker.
Off 10.
Yep.
Can bowl some overs, good in the field as well. And they probably don't have the most economical bowlers, but they get wickets.
Yep.
You know, Faulkner's back. You know what I like about Faulks? Swing the ball back into the right-hander. That would not have happened for...
Develop. No.
Well, for years.
Why hasn't he been working on that for 10 years?
Yes.
I'm not sure what the bowling group have been doing for Faulkner for the best part of 20 years. But as soon as you move the ball as a left-hander, you're dangerous. Absolutely 100%. Dangerous.
That leads us into where it can go from here. There's talk of, obviously a shorter season. I think that just has to happen. To be fair to Cricket Australia, the two tests in January... That does spread the red ball cricket. I think from now on, the Sydney Test will be the last one, and we can really go into
Big Bash
mode. You know, at least finishing maybe a week earlier.
Yeah.
I didn't mind. You know, when it got out of holiday period, that maybe we just focus on the weekends. Maybe we could have a Fox game on a Wednesday. But to do a complete round, a bit like the AFL, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday arvo and Sunday night.
Yes, agree. Yeah. One of the things is that it was probably a week too long, but that's okay. I think the games is fine. I like the volume of games. That's not a problem. And, Sammy, players are happy to play three games, in a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want the 5-6 days
and
off.
Stuff. Yeah, you don't want days off. You want to get into the tournament. One of the things I will be critical of, though, is players actually biting the hand that feeds them. Having strong comments about it's too long, it's not enjoyable, or mate, do your job.
Yeah,
get in there, win a title. Don't bite the hand that feeds you and paying you good money to do so. Have some constructive criticism, sure, but don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Because what's the alternative? You get yourself on LinkedIn. You're actively seeking opportunities like yourself.
I'm doing, exactly.
How many offers have you had?
Zero.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Rubbish.
Oh, geez, LinkedIn.
So play shorter, more condensed, or get yourself onto LinkedIn. What about more overseas players? Are you a fan, yes or no?
I think that if it's going to carry on for this period of time, I think you have to.
Separate salary cap?
Well, I don't mind the idea. Yeah, I think there has to be a separate salary cap. I think we need to attract the big guns back. I mean, we saw in Bangladesh Premier League in one particular game, there was Gale, AB de Villiers, Andre Russell, Sonny Liron. We need those guys here, so we've got to work out a way in which they can get it. I don't mind the idea of Sandeep going and coming back. So if you have four overseas, possibly, you might have a salary cap of $500,000. You can get two legends if you want, whatever, or you can go and get four. But we've got to have those big names here.
Big names, but what I've also loved, Sam, is the emergence of lesser name overseas who start to become stars. Archer was not a big name, was he? Rashid Khan wasn't a big name. Sandeep.
Yeah.
But we're, it's actually a tournament where you can emerge through this as well.
Definitely.
100%, yeah. Well, Rashid Khan, I've never seen his wrong one before. He saw my front pad.
No, it's tough.
And what do you think as a player, just to condense it a little bit more, but you're happy with home and to have that opportunity to have a home and away against both all the teams?
Yeah, well, I'm with Hodgie. I've just turned 22, so I'm a young kid loving playing cricket. So probably just at the back end, we had one game in about 2 weeks. I'm happy to keep playing games. And when you're playing in front of crowds, and as Hodgie said, trying to win a title, it's good fun. And we had a great group.
Yeah, it's just the downtime that the overseas players have, you know.
Yeah.
So if they're here for, you got to remember that if not just the tournament, they've got to be here 10 to 12 days prior to the start of the tournament. So that adds up. So if you've got a family or you're away from your home, you know, that's tough. So as much as we give them great hotels and comfortable, you're still away from your home. People get homesick. So you don't want downtime. You don't want to be sitting around contemplating what could be happening back home. You want action. So play the games. Everyone's happy to play.
As long as it's not to the detriment of social media. We still want self-promotion.
We do.
Out there, please. Hey, Hodgie, giving you a little assignment,
yes,
mate. Can you pick your mixed BBL team of the year?
Well, you're mixed or not, I've just gone for the BBL team of the year, whatever that looks like.
Okay,
and I'm going to go through in batting order.
All right.
And I was a bit like punter. It changed. So I had it written down about a week ago, but there's a few ins and outs actually. So it's a little bit revolving.
Well, it's a bit like Sam was saying, like there's a lot of talk. You know, can I get into Rick's team of the year?
Can I get into Rick's team of the year?
You'd be out in the middle going.
You were in there, and then you found your way out.
I'm not happy with that.
Look, don't let this cat out of the bag. But he's open to bribes if you really think that you want to get in there.
I don't want to. Just a little thing there. I don't want to be part of that.
Okay, so here
he's got
I go.
Big forearms,
Ricky. Here I go with my 11. So, opening the batting and wicketkeeper, Alyssa Healy. Yep. So I thought she was clearly the best wicketkeeper batswoman in BBL. So she's opening
Belinda
the batting.
Clark medalist.
I love the dynamic nature in which she played. And she's going to open the batting with Darcy Short.
Yeah.
He was clearly easily the opening batsman of the tournament and back-to-back player of the tournament. I did have Marcus Stoinis listed at number 3. I've now removed him from the side.
He's MVP, mate.
As good as he was, I've got Ash Gardner in there at number 3. We want to maximise opportunities in the power play.
Sixes.
She's a six-hitting machine. Stoinis is a six-hitting machine, but not so much
at
in the
middle
power
overs.
Play. Got me to number 4. Sophie Devine comes in at number 4. 556 runs at 46, 136 strike rate. That's the glue we're after.
I think 17 sixes for Sophie as well.
Then I got to number 5, and I've got the great Glenn Maxwell at number 5, the big show. I'd have him in any T20 side.
Is he captaining?
No.
No?
No, he's not captain. I've got number 6. I've got Perry at number 6, and this is versus Stoinis. So
yeah,
I thought, can I give Stoinis a roll down the order? And then I looked at the figures.
Did at least get enough runs?
She got 777 runs at 86, the strike rate of 121 with 200s. That's more than the Renegades actually made the whole tournament. So she could actually beat the Melbourne Renegades on her own.
She might have to play at number 4.
So Stoin keeps shuffling down. I've then got Ashton Turner at number 7. And I've got him as captain, Flynn.
Okay.
I think he's got great leadership skills. And I think that
he has a good run, no injuries for Ash, and have a crack at getting himself into the World Cup.
And I've got his backup as Dan Christian.
Yes.
So, but because we've got Elise Perry as the all-rounder, she takes that role.
Is DC not in the 11?
No, he's not at the
current. Do you want to win titles or not? No, he's a titleologist.
I just haven't got him in there at the moment. The girls have won plenty of titles. They won World Cups. They're in there.
He's won 58.
Not World Cups.
I might have. Okay.
He never won a T20 call. World Cup for Australia. I'm pretty sure these girls did. Yeah. I watched them.
Okay.
I've got Tom Curran at number 8. Tom Curran. I thought he was the premier all-rounder, bowling all-rounder in the competition. So I had him in there.
I loved his enthusiasm.
Loved him.
He wants to win.
He was like Joffre Archer was last year. with that enthusiasm. We just need to get that back a little bit.
Joffa ever showed a lot of enthusiasm. He's too cool.
So people didn't know this, but he was carrying a groin injury for the last four games. So how can he be that, you know?
That's why he's buying a lot of leg cutters.
So a lot of respect to get in there and not pull out. So hats off to Joffa Archer. I like that.
Yeah.
This was a real tough call, actually. And it was Stephen O'Keefe versus Sophie Molyneux.
Yep.
And I went for Sophie only because I've got a daughter whose name's Sophie. You're in. That's all you need to do. KG little off spinner. She was great. Good with the bat as well.
Yeah.
Can't run between the wickets, but you're in there.
Yep.
So just ahead of Steve O'Keefe. That was a tough one.
Sox missed out on a lot of teams. Yeah, geez, he had a great year.
Kane Richardson, I've got, and Megan Schutt, who didn't have her best T20.
So you've gone two in-swingers to open the bowling.
That's KG.
Two in-swingers.
Double in-swinger flat.
That's strategic management.
Sam, Australian cricket needs another selector. We've never had one to do male and female teams.
Are we looking at Bradley
Hodgson? Is he just done a...
We're looking at the first one, Flan.
That's an audition. Would you be comfortable with Bradley Hodge as a selector of the male and female teams?
Let's get it on LinkedIn. Let's get it out there.
Can you put that onto your LinkedIn profile? I will do.
So I've got, Stoyn is 12th man and Dan Christian 13. So that's my squad of 13. If you don't like it, people, by all means, I'm open to criticism. And you're pretty good at giving it anyway on a Saturday night after, or not Saturday night, Friday night after commentary.
So, Hodgie, just say bad luck. So, Hodgie, say if, this is your press conference, you've got the gig, and, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the new chairman of selectors of male and female cricket, it's Bradley Hodge. He's open to questions here, but Bradley just wants to make a brief statement.
Yeah, look, thanks for the opportunity. I'm really enjoying my new post as boss and chairman. I'll certainly do a better job than what I've just witnessed in the summer, because I thought they were absolutely fucking shit ass. And I'm going to go Donald Trump.
Yes.
All right. So
everything's fantastic. Everything's great.
And I'm going to try and extract $5 billion from the treasury if I can.
Well, good luck in your role, Bradley.
Thanks. I don't think I'll last long.
Okay, talking about... now, last week, the ICC chairman said Test match cricket is dying.
Mm.
And in context, he was saying that in regards that we need a Test championship, which I think we all agree on.
Yeah.
But Test match cricket may be dying with crowds in some countries and maybe ratings, not so much in this country and England. But results-wise, for competition-wise, you cannot make that statement, because West Indies have beaten England, who have been very good away from home. Sri Lanka, let's be honest, were horrible over here in Australia. And it wasn't helped with some injuries. That first test would have been a lot closer if all their quick bowlers were fit. We still would have won well.
That was South Melbourne District's third 11. They were absolute junk.
Now, Junior. I am so disappointed I went to bed. But when Kusal Perera scored 100, and I looked, how's the test going? And they still needed 78 runs and one wicket. I went to bed.
Wrote them off.
And I wish I hadn't, because Pereira and Vishwa Fernando scored 78. It's the highest successful winning chase for the last wicket ever. It actually beat, I was 12th man for this test match, Mushtaq Ahmed and Big Inzi. In Pakistan, 1994, where Ian Healy missed a Warnie wrongen, and it went for four byes. And Warnie didn't have the best wrongen going around. He was great at every other delivery. But what about the attack? They got it against Rabada, Steyn, Philander and co.
Amazing.
That is one of the premier bowling attacks in the world, isn't it, Flan?
Well, what do they chase down? 350, 390?
That's another thing.
They didn't look like getting 25 against Australia only about 2 weeks ago. So this is
collectively,
this is the biggest turnaround in sporting history. It has to be.
25.
So whoever the coach is it Nick Pothas? Maybe he's whatever he's done.
No, but
it's remarkable.
It's been weird. Remember, they stopped the coach being part of the selection after the first test.
This is where I can take that role.
Chandamel was captain here. He's not even in the squad.
This is the future of cricket. Cricket Australia need to get on board of this. Just promote me. I'll sort it out, no problem.
The boss of selectors, Bradley.
I think we'll take that. We'll have to get a better role than that. What can we call it? Not just the boss. But
well, they come up with such...
Chairman selectors,
team
management.
They come up with such horseshit things these days, don't you? I mean...
Well, actually, we'll go out to the tweets. We'll go out there.
I mean, Tara has got some...
What can we go?
Smack bang name that she's got attached to her.
You're actually the chairman of selectors for male and women, but we want we want a better name, a more corporate name than that, don't we? For Bradley Hodge.
Official one done.
What about Sam? What about Pereira's 153 not out? It's scarily the same score as Brian Lara, famous run chase against Australia in the West Indies in 1999, a left hander as well. Brian said, "Hats off to Pereira there."
Yeah.
But that's amazing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Especially 9 down for him, 78 or whatever it was to win after the summer they've had. That's an incredible knock against the quality of the bowlers. So.
The quality bowlers. So that's a big thumbs up for Test match cricket. And I reckon it's bunched up more, isn't it? There's less dominant nations. An argument can be said that India are number one and clearly. But with you want the bottom coming up a little bit. In the West Indies... I look at that team, it's quite young as well.
Yeah.
And the quest of all good teams is, can you win away from home? But first off, I want teams hard to beat at home.
Yes, definitely. Well, it is hard to beat at home. That's the point. Really, that any side come to Australia and win.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't won away from home for a long, long time. No. It's difficult.
I think you were a baby.
Yeah, it's difficult to win. So I like that. Look, Test match cricket took a hit when, you know, T20 came on board and IPL started and so forth. And we've seen a lot of players disappear from playing the longer forms of the game. But I love the resurgence of the West Indies and things like that. Guys like Shea Hope and that taking on board what it means to play for your country and represent it. I think it's fantastic.
Hold has done a fantastic
job.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because when we were growing up, they were just so dominant, Sam. But probably since you've been following cricket, the West Indies would have the odd star, a lot of white ball.
Cricket is, but that's it.
If he was back in the 80s, he'd have to be you'd be a white Larry Gomes because he was small, wasn't he?
Yeah, but
he was left-hander.
Larry had a closed grip. He had the Lionel Richie haircut, and he'd block it and it'd just go into the leg side for one. He could play the cut shot. We could not get him out.
Do you know all those
could not get him out.
West Indies guys? I loved Larry Gomes. I mean, my God, Viv. Richie Rich, the cat, and there I am supporting Larry Gomes.
Yeah.
What is going
on?
Yeah,
why? Because he would have averaged 50 against Australia.
Thank God, legend 60. Dean Jones come along and played one day cricket.
I think we're talking about Dino a little bit later on. Hey, we've got our guide to one of the great things was in the one day series this year. It's in my top five moments.
The Australian
what about
the shirt. Yeah.
The shirts they were wearing. They just looked good. They looked Australian, and we played that way.
Oh, brilliant, weren't they, Flynn?
So Cricket Australia got an initiative. You can vote on it, cricket.com.au, on the shirt that the Australians can be wearing next year, like another retro shirt. So we've got heaps here.
Yeah.
So I did already show the 96. This one's up for grabs. What do you reckon about this one, Sam? Would you be happy wearing that one?
A piece of carbon flame with all nations on the top. Yeah, not bad.
Not bad. This is getting votes. But what I loved, Hodge, you would have experienced this
too.
Mr. Wardrobe at the ACB, as it was when I first started playing for Australia.
Yep.
Then when I finished, it was Cricket Australia. This is the geniuses that they employed. We go to India where it's hot and humid in Madras, all right? How thick is that?
That's very thick, Flynn.
And it's not like, you know, the beautiful material now where it sweats and it goes on the outside. Mm. No, it was like you were drenched bowling in that. So hot conditions, let's get heavy material.
I'll tell you what it is. It's this here made in a Bangladesh. I reckon they're laughing their asses off at you, running around in the field in the middle of India, trying to bowl quick for 10 overs.
The Aussies. Sweat. Heavy.
Exactly.
100% cotton.
So the next World Cup, this one's getting votes, and I like the colour, and it's got the Southern Stars on this one. But what you'll notice...
It looked good on TV.
Feel this material.
Oh, that's light. That's lovely. Better.
Yeah, that's
lovely.
Beautiful. Yeah.
But that's in England.
This is in England. We're playing in Durham. Right? We are freezing.
And 9 degrees.
So in hindsight, retrospectively, Cricket Australia ACB, That would be good in England.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be good at all. It's that heavy. This is India. They got it wrong. But I... Geez, I'd love the guys to wear this in the World Cup.
I actually think they got it right. They had Mark Taylor and David Boone in this one. This was a strategic management to get them to drop some kilos. There's no doubt. This is sports science before sports science even came.
Well,
this
you know, brilliant. Merv Hughes has got a theory.
Absolutely brilliant.
Merv Hughes got a theory. Him and Greg Ritchie, while they only played 20-odd one-day games for Australia, Cricket Australia strategically only made their pants go up to 36. So if you didn't fit it, there's one for you as chairman selectors.
True, yeah.
Uniform sizing.
I've got one more. I've got a couple more. I think this might have been around 93, 94.
I reckon I saw Mark Waugh with the floppy hat make some runs in that.
Yeah.
That just black lacks... And red.
Sam, you happy with that?
Black and red lightning? Not
that's
sure.
Boring. Yeah, right. Like, that's boring. That is shit boring. What are they doing?
That's going...
Here we go.
This is when they started to go a bit of dark green.
You know what that is? That's the opposite of when they had the Australia A versus Australia.
Yes.
So all these colours were just turned over. Brilliant. Okay. But still, shit material.
What do you think about that one?
What about
Sam?
the top is carpet and the top is a nice cottony
thing? It was better than the 96 World Cup, but... You know what I want? I want canary yellow. I want as much canary yellow as possible.
As we can get.
So,
who was your favourite sponsor on all of those?
What did we have?
You've got Wills, you've got Smokes, you've got Coca-Cola. You've got, surely there was a Forex
that was
shirt
Emirates,
somewhere in there.
Fly Emirates.
Yep.
And there was one over there. I'm not really sure.
Carlton Series.
ACB. See, what about this one? See, I didn't like the blue. why are you chucking blue in the Australian?
Blue, yeah.
I didn't like.
Who ever thought that blue, green, and yellow was going to be a good look on TV?
So get your votes in, and we'll, I love that initiative, and I reckon it's a real spur for one day cricket.
Well, whoever designed the colours of the BBL, for Christ's sake, can you get the Australian stuff sorted out because they got it spot on?
We'll get you a game next year, Sam. So which one are you going out of all these?
Nah.
You make your debut
I'm
for
I'm
going to
be chairman of selectors,
yeah.
So...
You're getting a game.
Right. Which shirt
would go that
dodge.
One.
We've got this one as well.
I don't mind that dodge.
No, it's pretty rank and boring, isn't it? The only good thing about it is a World Cup shirt and Gilly...
Gilly. But I wouldn't mind that if it was a bit more yellow.
What do you reckon, Flynn? What are we locking in here?
What colour is this? This is mustard. It's not even yellow.
No. I know. I like the colour of this.
Just the green and gold. No blue.
Who wears this shit?
All right, we haven't really come
to an
answer.
You didn't represent your country. You tossed that shit out.
Wemmerlocht went in there,
mate. They've got my names on it. Can you just look after my shirts, please?
Bit indecisive.
All right, let's just
I'll
get
tell
in
you
the
what
game,
I wouldn't mind
champ.
Seeing. I wouldn't mind seeing a Cathy Freeman bodysuit for the World Cup.
Yep.
That'd look cool.
Did you play those T20s, Hodges?
I did,
those grey bodysuits.
I'll tell you what doesn't work when you've got big shoulders, breasts, and a big ass. They are... Horrible
no good for
your
body.
Horrible.
And there's also a sweat factor with you.
The grey patches, the grey colour,
we know.
I mean, you're sitting there waiting to bat, you're nervous, and before you even... You're
self-conscious, aren't you?
Rubbish.
All right, good luck with that. Hey, guess what time it is? This is the reason, Sam, you blokes, you young punk, you don't go on social media too much because you're scared that there is someone who, in his own brain, he knows there's a self-promotion here from Harper.
When you walk in the chain, friend, or the bits or the windows... We are wary of it as players.
Hodge, who have you got in your view, the social media self-promoter?
Well, I've got one sitting right next to me anyway, and it starts with Sammy Harper, the Renegades. What a day and what a bunch of legends, you know, just promoting, winning the title, rubbing it into the Melbourne Stars, who they're going to train with again tomorrow, you know, so... In fact, pretty much every Melbourne Renegades...
Can we just give all the Renegades two votes?
They got votes.
And good on them, though.
Yeah. What I also want to give a vote for and a nomination is Professor Dean Jones.
Yes.
So Dino...
He's in Pakistan Super League.
Yeah, he is in Pakistan Super League. But I know that there's a secret person who, he antagonises the professor. So he's known as Dean Jones at Dean Jones's Red Book. So
oh, yeah,
we all know the story of the Red Book. This famous,
it's a cricket
coaching
Bible.
Manual, Sammy, which wins cricket, titles, right? Apparently. Yes. So it only ever wins titles in Pakistan Super League, but that's okay.
It's red. it's never got its own Twitter account.
It's never won anywhere else. Anyway, this person posted the photo of the great Dean Jones in the suit. It's Dubai. It's 5,000 degrees. Yes. And there's the Dino. Not in the box, on the sideline.
No, but it's a bit of, I think Dino said, it's a bit of Sir Alec Ferguson. Exactly. He wants to go that way.
In the black suit.
So he's more
on
a manager.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he dyed his hair that way. But what I loved is that Dino put that photo in his own Twitter feed and reposted it.
Clever.
Thumbs up.
Self-promotion.
That's self-promotion.
It is self-promotion. Dino's been absent for a while. Look, in all this excitement of the BBL, a couple of the legends have stuck their head up from nowhere. We haven't seen them for a while. The great Michael Clarke, who's been absent, but we knew he'd come good.
Yep.
You know?
It's getting into IPL season too.
And he's sitting on a vessel in probably Camps Bay or whatever it's called anyway. Brilliant weekend on the water at Reboco Australia. Hashtag SailGP.
Yep. Yes.
We know what you're on about there, Mickey. And this is a bounce back as well. I know it because I won't promote Macquarie Flem because you're a bit of an SEN.
No, it doesn't bother me.
But I only know Squad Athletica because we have to promote it while we're talking. Mitchell Johnson, I've basically been living in my Squad Athletica tees since October. I wear them to the gym, out to coffee, or just when I'm hanging out with the kids. This month, you can mix and match any two of their print tees for $70.
Jono. He's a gun.
That's fantastic.
Welcome back, Jono.
Yeah, and he's strong.
Welcome back.
He's
You've
just
been
a
absent.
Gun.
It's brilliant. We love
That'll
it.
It'll get him up the leaderboard, too.
It'll get him up there for sure.
Oh, who's up on the leaderboard, Flynn?
I think we've got Greg Norman. I think Pup's right up there. KP.
KP is up there. He's been absent. But this person itself is a standout, Sammy. And he's known as the Shark.
The Greg Norman.
Not the Greg Norman that you know, but the real Greg Norman. Happy President's Day. Golf gave me the fortunate opportunity to know a few. I'm honoured to know two of the best. RIP Prez 41. We'll miss you. So it's just him having a photograph.
Does he have clothes on?
He does this time.
He does have clothes
however,
on.
So that halves his votes.
However,
the motorbike one.
No, but seriously.
However, Greg Norman, contemplating where to next? Hashtag Seven Lakes Lodge, hashtag Colorado. What I'm astounded by is how he just managed to, he's lost in the middle of nowhere for those people on a ski, on the ski slopes. He's just contemplating where to next. What you're contemplating is getting yourself on fucking social
next
media.
Next promotion.
That's what you're doing. That's why you're the best.
No, but that's why you're the best, because you know he's going.
Mate. You've stopped in the middle of nowhere and gone, you know what?
He's probably got some reception to post the photo.
Can you see any other person in that?
No.
Not even close. Not How even he found, what did he just get a polar bear and say, can you take a photo of me out in the middle of nowhere? Shark, you're a genius.
But if Shark asked a polar bear, they'd recognise him. That's that famous. He won the Social Media Self-Promoter Award a year ago.
Nothing about the golf.
Unbelievable.
Boom.
And I just want to make a special, maybe a two-voter, to our good friend, the Torch, Andrew McDonald.
Yes.
What an amazing weekend it was. So special for all to be involved. Hashtag get on red, blah, blah, blah.
Is he saying red renegades
say,
or red heads?
What I want to say,
see,
coach.
See, I'm confused by that.
What I want to say, coach, it's about the players, eh? Have some of that. I know you're going to be listening.
All right. So the Torch, I'll put him in the two votes with all you renegades guys, but and you'd clearly take that because you've won the title, Sam. Dino 3.
Yeah.
Pup 2. Jono 4.
Yeah.
The Shark, well, it's got to be 10. It's got to be 6 and 4.
No doubt.
So I think Shark, who we were questioning two episodes ago, where is he gone?
Yeah.
Does he want to win the title back? He said it was like the third major, didn't he last year after he'd won it?
He did.
But
he's back in action.
Yeah. In hindsight, he's made us look foolish.
Yeah.
He's back. So that's Hodgie's Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Hey, Sam. I know you listen to this podcast all the time.
Yeah.
We've got a little other little segment called the Retrospective Book Review. And I go back and look at classic cricket books, give them a review, and basically explain why they are classics, and all you young blokes should be bloody reading them. So today, my... Oh, God, where'd I put it?
What's a book, then?
My retro book review went to the library, and it's a little bit of gold. It's a little bit of gold. It's Brad Hodge.
The little master.
The little master. Hang on, mate. Isn't that Sachin Tendulkar? So the Australian Cricket Society Incorporated proudly present Bradley Hodge, the little master, a tribute booklet by the great Kenny Peace. And it's absolutely gold. Look at this. He signed it. There's only 99 of 203 copies. What was your highest test score?
203.
So self-promotion, retro book review, inside. Weird. You know, Greg Shippard does a forward. We've got The Moment, The Inspiration, Meeting DK, Revival Time.
V for Victory, Standby Status, Cashing In,
Timeline Favourites,
and then your statistics.
And I look through, there's some great photos here. what about this one with DK? Do you remember that day?
I actually do remember that day very clearly, and I know why, because another legend of Australian cricket told me to F off.
Oh, who was it?
I won't name it. It was Kim Hughes.
Okay, as long as you don't name
it. So I won't.
So how old were you? And Claggy's gone.
I was
nick off.
Six. And so the good thing was, so that is actually in between. So before warm ups used to happen on the ground, they used to go over to Punt Road and warm up and then come back across. So we went over to Punt Road to get some autographs. Kim Hughes told me to F off. I was lucky enough to get the great DK.
But you want Dennis, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look at those legs. That's brilliant. And shorts. And also, there was a follow-up photo with Alan Border, Rodney Marsh, and I think it was Mick Malone, I reckon.
So the moustache guys signed
and
the clean shaven said, F off. I think he's on next episode here. And what you'll love here, Sam, you know the great DK, he doesn't just scribble anything. He goes Bradley. To Bradley, not just Brad. Revival Time, episode 4. Someone said about you, he had it too easy for too long. The free ride was about to stop. What about your little, where was this little one here? There was a little quote, cashing in. You were asked, Hodge on Hodge.
What?
It's damning when you make runs aren't selected, but it's not in my nature to give up. I'll keep on competing until I get the tap on the shoulder to stop. And that's why if he interviews for the chairman of selectors,
male and female,
and he says that, you have got the job, Bradley.
That's the blueprint right there. You know what? I reckon that's only second to the advice in which Ian Chappell gave in his particular book.
No, that's
book,
Greg Chappell's haven't one got there. Yeah.
Well, Ian's was way better.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't believe how intelligent I was back then. What I'm not happy about is that I never saw a penny for this. How much did the Australian Cricketers Society take out of this?
So review. I mean, it's six balls out of six. This is the perfect over. Six wickets out of six. Make sure you get it. I think it could have been a freebie. I can't find a recommended retail price here. If you can find this for under $5,000, buy it immediately. This will only earn you more and more money over the years. So Bradley Hodge, the little master, I'll say Mark II because we know that's Sachin Tendulkar, but make sure you get it.
Well done, Dodge.
Okay, we've got to close out. Hodgie, the Aussie women are taking on the Kiwis.
Yep.
I think you're doing a little bit of work on the Channel 7. Good luck to the girls.
No, I'm not on Channel 7. I'm punted now.
A little bit of radio. Beautiful.
Yep.
So good luck to the girls.
Yeah, good luck,
that
girls.
Should be a big series against New Zealand. I just want to talk in closing. When I say Oman cricket, what do you two think about?
Oh. I think of surely runs and wickets and skill. I can only think of that.
I'd say batting long periods of time, batting, like facing lots of balls.
I'll be totally honest. I don't follow Oman cricket that much. I'm more Scandinavian.
Yes.
Yep.
We got more listeners too. Right, from the Cayman Islands listened in. So we encouraged more.
That's where you filter your money through, isn't it?
Yeah, well, maybe we're going to have to do a podcast from over there. But no, we need to give Oman cricket update. We know. When I think of Oman, I think emerging cricket powerhouse. So they took on Scotland. They batted first. And
it was a good choice. It was a good wicket.
Things look pretty good. They walk confidently out to the wicket. Unfortunately, 24 runs later, they were all out.
But well done, Flem, too.
Who ripped through them?
Kaswar Ali, 15 off 33 balls, match-winning.
He hit the only boundary of the innings.
Who ripped through them?
And who ripped through them? Well, I'll R. Smith, 4 for.
Oh, he's a gun.
Nelly got 4.
Yep.
And Evo got 2 as well.
Oh, yeah.
So 5 maidens there, and Scotland were in trouble early and got there after 3.2 overs. So they won with 280 balls to spare. So maybe you've got to do a bit of work over there, Hodgie.
Chairman of selectors for Oman and Australia.
Can he do both?
Oh, I'm happy to go and try and resurrect their World Cup bid in 2058.
Why can't he do that? I tell you what this man can do. We can thank him for coming on to the Bowlology Report.
He's been great today.
It's the first BBL champ that we've actually had on the show.
Yep.
But well done on your season. Well done, the Renegades, and good Thanks, luck Flam. For the rest of the summer.
Good man. Thanks, Flam. Thanks, Emmy, Dodge.
Hodgie, until next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.